67. So if you're paying attention, we're skipping a chapter. We were on chapter 19. We're going to skip chapter 20 because it doesn't really have much to do with Eliyahu HaNavi. It actually does have to do with Achav and the Hazael and so on. But we're going to skip it, and we're just going to look straight. We're going to stick with Eliyahu HaNavi, and this is more pertinent to him. He doesn't appear in the previous chapter. So look at what we have here. This is a very famous story. It's let's just read it and we'll see. Vayhi achara devarim ha'ele, was after these things. Kerem haya lenavot ha'yizraeli asher b'yizrael. There was a vineyard in the hands of a guy named Navot ha'yizraeli. Yizraeli asher b'yizrael. You sort of can see already. It's Yisrael is a valley in northern Israel. If you're not familiar with it, it's very green. It's right near. It's kind of inland from Haifa, so it's in the north a little bit, and it's this very fertile valley in the north. And so this guy Navot has a vineyard there, and his name is Navot Yisraeli, and he's in Yisrael, which, you know, seems a little repetitive to say, or a little redundant. What do you, if his name is Yisraeli, don't we know he's in Yisrael? And not necessarily, it's true. But if you say it's Navot, Asher B'Yisrael, is that... Right. In other words, why do you need to tell me...
He's like the main guy from there, he's been there a long time.
Right, so there's something, meaning... Well, basically it means he has a strong connection to it, right? And you're going to see that comes into play. So where is this kerem, this vineyard? Etzel hechal Achav melech Shomron. It's right next to the palace of Achav, the king of Shomron. So he's in a good location. Vaydaber Achav el Navot lemor. So Achav turns to Navot and says, "Tana li et karmecha, give me your vineyard. Vihi li legan yarak, and it could be for me like a garden, a green garden, a vegetable garden, you know." But basically, he's basically saying, right, he's buying his next door neighbor, you know, through eminent domain. He's the king, right? Imagine you had the house next to the White House, right, or a Gracie mansion or something like that, you know. And they say to you, you know, we want to expand a little bit, right? So what do you say, right? You know, it's not much choice, right? Ki hu karov etzel beti. He says, listen, it's close to my house. Ve'etna lecha tachtav kerem tov mimenu. He says, I'll give you a better vineyard than this one. Yours is very nice, but it's not the best in the world. It's only good to me because it's location. But in terms of a vineyard, you could get better vineyards. Ve'etna lecha tachtav kerem tov mimenu im tov be'enecha. If it's good for you, if it's good for you, I'll give you money, you know, for whatever the price is. I'll pay any amount. And presumably, as a king, right, he could pay a tremendous amount. Right? How do you feel about what he says so far?
He's very respectful.
Fine, right? No issue with what he said, right? What does he want? He wants the kerem. Does he have? Is he want it for a bad reason?
Doesn't seem like it's something he would even do, like with his personality, though.
No, right, you might think, what does he do?
Just take it.
Sure. Right? Just say, eminent domain. Right? You know, I'm here. I'm the king. I want to take your land. Thank you. And he doesn't have to give him money. Right? And what does it mean, ganyarak? Right? So it means a green garden. So what does it mean, a green garden? So presumably, we know that he was, like, you know, international. We saw he spoke to other kings. He married a woman from a foreign country. So presumably, it's a place where you bring visitors. Right, you show people, oh, you know, like Versailles, right? Not so different than Versailles. I don't know, I've been there, but that was the point of Versailles, was to impress people, you know, to show people, you know, who you are and what you can do. So he was trying to do that, which for a king, you know, it's part of statecraft. It's part of what you do. Okay. And he told him, listen, I'll get you a better vineyard or I'll pay you for it, which sounds to me, at least on the surface of it, to be pretty reasonable. It doesn't sound like it's evil. It doesn't sound like it's terrible. It doesn't sound like it's bad. Well, let's see what Navot says. Vayomer Navot el Achav, Chalila li me'adonai mititi et nachalat avotai lach. He says, forbidden to me from God to give you the portion of my father. There's no way I could do that. So what is he basically saying? Well, why? Not because you're not paying me enough, right? But because I have a special connection to this piece of land. This is my land, right? We know that when they gave out the land, when they were first coming into the land of Israel, they apportioned different pieces.
Also, he's God-fearing.
He is definitely, he says Hashem's name, yeah. Right? So interesting, in a time where we thought no one cares about God, mm-hmm. Right? Here's this guy cares about God. And he says, listen, far be it by Hashem's name, swearing by Hashem, he says, I can't give you my father's portion. Right? That's basically what he says. So basically he tells him, there's no other portion that's better than this, and there's no amount of money you're going to give me. I can't take it. I can't
for him. There's nothing better than it for him.
For him. Well, but that's stone, right? In other words, no dice, no sale, no way, no how. Right? This is what he tells Achav. So, Achbayavo Achav El Beto. So Achav comes home. Sar v'za'ef al hadavar asher diber elav navot Yisraeli. He comes home and he's feeling terrible, miserable about the fact that Navot wouldn't give it to him. Vayomer lo eten lecha nachalat avotai, because he told him, I will not give you the portion of my father's. Vayishkav al mitato, so he goes and lies in bed. Vayasev et panav, and he turns his face away. Velo achal lachem, and he won't eat. Right, so he's like really bitter, emotional about this, right? A little bit, this sounds almost a little childish, right? Like, you know, what are you doing? You won't eat? Okay, go get a different piece of land. Go get, so, I don't know, whatever. So don't have a piece of, whatever. Go do something. But so here we see kind of what we've seen before about Achav, that maybe he's a little bit of not such a strong personality after all. Even though he sins and he leads the people to sin, but we saw maybe Eliyahu swayed him a little bit. So here, when he has the opportunity to get this piece of land, he doesn't get it. Okay, let's see. So he's sitting in bed crying. Vatavo elav Izebel ishto. Izebel, his wife, comes to him. Vatidaber elav, and she says to him, Mazeruchacha sarav enecha ochel lachem. She says, what are you all bitter about and you're not eating bread? What's the story here? Vaydaber elea, and he tells her, Ki adaber el Navot Yisraeli. When I spoke to Navot Yisraeli, va'amar lo, he says, when I told him, give me your vineyard for money, or if you want, I'll give you a different vineyard for it. He said, I won't give you my vineyard. So Izebel says to him, Izebel ishto, his wife, He says, you will make the kingship over Israel. Kum, get up, echol lechem, eat bread, v'yitav libecha, and make your heart good, which probably means drink wine. Ani eten lechat kerem Navot Yisraeli. I'm going to give you the vineyard of Navot the Israeli. She's going to get it for him. Okay, so what does she do? V'tichtov sefarim, she writes books, b'shem Achav, in the name of Achav, v'tachtom v'chotamo, and she signs with his seal. V'tishlach sefarim el ezekenim v'lachorim asher b'iro yashvim el Navot, and she sends scrolls, sefarim or books, but books in those days meant scrolls, to the elders and the nobles that were in the city that were sitting with Navot. V'tichtov asfarim lemor, she wrote in the book, in the scrolls, k'ru tzom v'oshivu et Navot b'rosh ha'am. Make a fast day or make a public assembly and make Navot sit at the head of the people. V'oshivu shnayim anashim b'nei Belial negdo. And then get two people that are b'nei Belial. Belial usually means people that have no sense of law and what's right and so on. Meaning she says, get two bad guys, and what should they do? And testify against him. Saying, Berachta Elohim v'melech, saying that he blessed, which is a euphemism for cursed, saying that he cursed the Hashem and the king. V'hotzi'u, and take him out, v'sikluhu v'yamot, and stone him to death. Right, so basically what does she say? She sends messages to the noble people, take care of this Nevelet guy. Get him out. Get him. Get two fake witnesses. Testify that he cursed out the king and that he cursed out Hashem. That's treason. Let's stone him. Let's kill him. All right. So, okay. You can see why we've said all along she's the real source of the trouble. Right here, you could see how she is. Right. So.
And she's writing this as.
And she's doing it as from the king.
The king or as the king?
As the king, meaning she's signing his name. Kind of like what we see in Purim, you know, going back to that, you know, where Haman doesn't say it himself. He has to use the king because the king is the law.
So, the
what's that?
In the name of the king.
Right, so Vayasu anshe Yiro zekenim ha'achorim asher ha'yoshvim b'Yiro kasher shalacha alehem Yizabel. So they do what she said, kasher katu basfarim asher shalacha alehem, like it was written in the scrolls that she sent to them. They made a fast, and they had navot. They stood navot in front of the people. And the two guys came; these two awful guys came. They sat in front of him. And they testify, these two guys, against navot in front of all the people, saying, "Berach navot Elohim v'melech." This guy blessed, which means cursed. Navot, navot cursed Hashem and the king, and they took him outside the city, and they take him and they stone him and he dies. And they send message to Izebel, we took care of him. He Navot has been stoned and he's dead.
So but, was she acting as the king? You mean why they're sending word to her and not Ahab?
I guess they knew it was coming from her anyway. But meaning, I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question, right? Like, why are they sending to her if it's coming from the king? But I guess she gave it to them and said, it's from the king. Right? If she would have given it to them and said, it's from me, what would they have said?
Not valid.
I can only do from the king. But if she gives it to them from the king, so maybe they know that it's a fake anyway, but at least they could say, right, you know, plausible deniability, right, they could say, listen, we got a message from the king, from the queen, you know, the queen gave us a message from the king, it's got to, you know, we have to follow it, right, that's what they might say. Vahi kishmo Izebel kisukal navot vayamot, and when she hears that Navot was stoned and is dead, Vatomer Izebel el Achav, kum reshet kerem Navot Yisraeli, asher me'en latet lecha v'chesef, ki en Navot chai ki met. She says, get up, go, resh means take possession of the vineyard of Navot ha'Yisraeli that refused to give it to you for money, because Navot is not alive, he's dead. Vahi kishmo Achav ki met Navot, when Achav heard that Navot died, he goes down to take the field, right? To take the vineyard, right? So I'm going to stop here because this is like a midpoint in the story. But what do we have here? Right, we have so far no Eliyahu Hanavi, right? Eliyahu Hanavi is in the next pasuk, but we'll get to him in a minute, right? But what do we have? We have three characters. We have basically three characters. We have Navot, we have Achav, and we have Izebel. All right, so what happens? Navot, what do we say about Navot? As far as we could tell, righteous, good, right? Did everything according to the way that he should. He didn't lie, he didn't hurt anybody. He just refused to sell his field. As far as we could tell, was he disrespectful to the king? No, he just said, listen, this is my family thing. I can't give it up. So now, what about Achav? Right, Izebel, very bad. Right, Izebel, what do we see? Right, what we expect, but corrupt and conniving. Yeah. Right, I mean, really, you could say evil to the core. Mm-hmm. Right, she, because the truth is, what is she? You know, this is not even for Avodah Zarah. It's for nothing. It's for a garden. It's for, you know, I'm not going to say it's not worth anything, but it's not a war. Mm-hmm. It's not a national something. It's a luxury, you know. It's an extra feature, right? It's adding on to the backyard, you know. It's not a major thing. And what does she do? She kills, and she doesn't just kill, right? She doesn't just get this guy killed. How does she kill? She sets up a whole thing, which, you know,
public.
If you're gonna kill, by the way, you just kill him, right? Why doesn't she just get two soldiers or one soldier to go and say, kill this guy. Mm-hmm. Right?
To clean her hands.
But it seems like they kind of know. It seems like everybody knows that it's not so straight. Right? Right? Like, it's not legal what she does, but it's legal.
Right.
Right.
She publicly told them to go get two.
She put it down on paper, right? Yeah. It's on paper publicly to go get bad witnesses, right? It's like they knew, right? It's a sham, but they knew it, right? So what's the deal, right? It seems like that even though clearly she's evil, she's bad, and she rules. There's a number of things here that make it seem like you still have to use the system. Right, the people wouldn't have tolerated it if she just went and killed someone, which is interesting because this goes back to, remember what we were like trying to understand about Eliyahu. He wanted Ahav to go and turn it around. He got the people behind him, and Ahav was behind him. And if Isabel didn't undercut him, then Eliyahu kind of felt, oh, we got it, we're there. So you see that there's a certain like. It's politics, you know. You have to control the people. You have to get the people to buy in. If they don't buy in, you're not there, right? So Isabel, she gets the people to buy in, right? I mean, the right people anyway. And how does she do that? Because the right people that will do the wrong thing do it in a way that makes it look like it's the right thing so that everybody else says, okay. Right. She gets it in the name of the king.
They respect the system.
There's a court case. Oh, we have to have witnesses. Witnesses. Of course, witnesses. They have two witnesses. Right? It's all corrupt. Right? So it's not really okay. But at the same time, you see the need to make it look okay. Right? To make it look okay. And she does. Now, let's look back at the... You know, it's funny. It's like a little redundant in terms of what's said. We have here what Navot says repeated many times. What do I mean?
Right.
The Pasuk tells us what he said when he said it. Then it tells us what Ahav heard. Then it tells us what he told Isabel. Then it tells us what she says. Right? And look at each time, it's a little bit different. Right? Look at this. First, what he says, right? Pasuk 3 on page 767. Navot says to Achav, Chalila li me Adonai. Right? He says, Hashem's name, Metiti. I can't give Nahalat Avotai lach. Right? I can't give it to you. He doesn't say, what?
I don't want to.
No, he doesn't say anything about money. He doesn't say selling. He doesn't say for... He says, look, I can't give you this because... It's an heirloom. It's a family thing. You know, that's how he's approaching it. So money to him, he doesn't talk about it. It's not in there. The king came to him and said, I'll give you another one, a better one. I'll give you money. And how does he respond to money or better one? He doesn't even, like, they're talking different.
He can't do it. Not that he won't or he doesn't want to.
He doesn't even say there's no amount of money. The words don't come out of his mouth. And look at how he says it. He says, from giving. He doesn't say from selling to you. Right? He doesn't say from selling to you. Now, look at what Ahav says. So on the top of the next page, Pasuk 4, it says, Navot, he's sar v'zaef al adavar shediber elav Navot Yisraeli v'yomer lo eten lecha et nachalat avotai. So, what is he saying there?
He won't give it.
Yeah, but
He's repeating his thoughts,
but there's something not exactly the same.
He's only saying that it's what he inherited, not that he's forbidden by God to do.
Right. He left out, he didn't, it's like he didn't register it, yeah. Right? Like almost the way that it's the Pasuk is describing it. It doesn't say, Chalil Ali Mehashem. Right?
Yeah, well, when you're thinking about the way the conversation went in your head, you're just saying, yeah, I said no.
Another religious guy, He doesn't say religious guy.
I'm
saying that maybe he doesn't.
Well, look at how he says it. He only hears, right? He only hears the father. He doesn't hear that what Navot really said, which is, religiously, I can't give you my father's thing, because how did my father get this piece of land? Because Hashem divided up the land.
Right.
Okay. Now, look at what happens. When Izebel comes, look at what he says in Pasuk 6. Right? He says, he said, I said to him, right? He says, give me your field for money, or if you want another, I'll give you a vineyard in its place. That's not exactly what he said, right? It's off by two things.
Right.
It's off by, first of all, the order.
Right.
The order, first time he told him, I'll give you a better one, right? And first he told him, I'll give you a vineyard, and then he said, or if you want money. Here, he's saying, I told him money, and then I told him, or another one. He also left out that he told him, I'll give you a better one. Right? That was also part of it. But look at what he says. Vayomer, lo eten lechad karmi. Look at what he says.
Now
he just says, I won't give you the thing. Right? Look at how he's repeating it. You see, each time it's a little different. Right? And then, right, later, what happens? On Pasuk 15, Vayi Kishmoa Izebel, when Izebel heard Kisukal Navot Vayamot, that Navot was stoned and he died. Vatomer Izebel Elachav, Kum, get up, Reshet Kerem Navot Yisradi, Asher Me'en Latet Lecha Bekesef. Go take the vineyard of Navot Yisradi, who refused to give to you with money. Right? So she's like, even, you know, you see they didn't get it. You see, they didn't understand, and that's part of the tragedy of what happened here, is they didn't understand why Navot wouldn't give it, right? And you know, for them, everything's for sale. For them, it's all about the money. For them, it's, what do you care? This kerem, that kerem. They don't understand the value of tradition, of something that's owned, of something that I got from the family. It's not meaningful to them. And that's a big part of what happened here. And you see just the way the story outlines the whole thing.
Maybe he even left out that last detail to his wife, because he thought that she would maybe, you know, not that she has morals, but she would.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe he's guiding her and leading her to kind of.
What do you mean? Say it again.
He left out the details, not only that he was God fearing, but also that he doesn't want it because he inherited it. He left out all those details. Maybe just thinking.
Either because he thought she wouldn't
think that she would just go handle it, because he's just being.
I don't know if he thought his wife was going to handle it. I mean, I don't know about you. I think he didn't go to his wife. His wife came to him,
right,
seeing him down and saying, "What's with you?"
Right.
Now his wife. I mean, look. One of the things you see here from the story is who's the power here,
mm-hmm,
right? She is. She says to him, now you'll be king, right? And I'm going to make you the king, right? So, behind every good man, you know, behind every successful man, right? So here you see he's not a success at all. She's the, I mean, however you define success here, but she's the one who makes the whole thing happen. So I think that's an important piece to understand here also. Obviously, they're trying to show you how evil she is and how much of the source of evil that she is. But one of the things that you see here is that there's no, which we've seen already in this time, there's no respect for tradition. There's no respect for the past. You remember when we were first starting, we saw that there was this long-standing curse on whoever would build the city of Yericho, and they went and built it, right? From the days of Yoshua ben Nun, several hundred years before, no one would touch this. Now they're building it, right? So they didn't care about the old ways, the traditions, or anything like that. Anything else that I wanted to add here?
So he's king. It seems like he lays down so easily to the rejection of the land, sale of the land.
So what it seems to be is, how did he get to be king?
Killed.
No, not him. How did he get to be king? He was the son of Omri. He was, his father made his bones and became the king. He's the son, and he's the son that gets married off to another woman Izebel, who's the daughter of a king herself of a foreign kingdom, so perhaps he's
not
this
fit for the job.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to say not fit at all, but yeah, he's not so strong a personality. He's not so strong a personality. Now we do see he does get upset at Eliyahu for not bringing the rain. He is scary to Ovadiah. Remember the guy Ovadiah who hides the prophets. So he's afraid to tell Ahav, I found Eliyahu, I didn't find Eliyahu. So he's not feared. He's feared. He's the king. But we see kind of behind the curtain, when you peer behind the curtain, you see he's not so strong. He's not so solid. And it's actually she who's really the one who makes it happen. And here, especially, part of what we see about him is like Hazit, right? Like, not feel bad for him, but like, he's weak. He goes home and he cries when he doesn't get his way. His wife handles things for him. Then she kills the guy and he says, oh, guess what? The guy's dead. And oh, I'll go down into the field and I'll take it. And he goes down merrily and he goes and he does it. You know, like.
So, you know, I mean, to Solomon's point, I mean, you have this guy, Naboth.
Naboth.
Who you're saying in the beginning has deep roots in this town, and he
does,
well respected maybe for generations, and
probably
maybe the king doesn't want to stir anything up with him because then he could rally the people around him.
Perhaps that's why in the beginning
and
he
so
didn't.
He goes about it in a kind of sneaky backdoor route,
right? But but
he's hands off.
Oh, you're saying that
her to. It seems kind of weird that the story is so specific to say that the king just like laid down and turned his head and was
I think it wants to make him look weak. Think it wants to make him look weak. And I think it also wants to make her look evil. To demonstrate her that she's what's bad. She is the root of all the best.
Have you seen any other examples where he is a ruthless type of king to the people, or really he does avodah zara? We know that, but that's between him and
we don't really see him as so terrible. Like we don't see him do
right.
Such terrible things.
We know his wife does because she killed all the prophets.
His wife kills the prophets. His wife is the one that sustains the Baal. His wife is the one that tells Eliyahu, I'm going to kill you.
From an ethics standpoint, maybe he's not that unethical. I don't know. I mean,
he's weak. Even when he goes, how about the way he goes? You would say a king that gets a no. What does a king who gets a no say? No, I'm the king, buddy. You know. Like the Godfather, right? You know, either your brains or your paper, or your signature is going to be on the paper,
mm-hmm.
right? And okay, you don't have to go that far, but he could have said, listen, I'm the king. I'm being nice to offer you money. I could just take it,
right?
He doesn't do that, right? So he's...
Mm-hmm. And why is he talking to himself?
He's
meaning is it it's not, you know, it's meant maybe to say how furious the guy was.
I don't know if he's furious or he's depressed, which is different, right? In other words, furious, the guy's out in a rage doing things.
Meaning because he leaves things out, he's just saying he said he wouldn't give it to me.
Right. I
meaning
think,
he left the
like a child.
The compassionate part out.
Because I think he doesn't understand. Meaning, if he was someone that was in touch with his people. Right, then he would have understood, oh, this guy, you know, he doesn't even understand the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He can't, what does he think? He thinks, you want something, you buy it. Right? That's what he thinks.
So you think he's just that simple and kind of pathetic?
Yeah. I mean, and look, we don't know people that are like that. They
sure.
Don't, yeah, I mean, we know people that they just... You know, everything's for sale.
They saw open miracles and they're still doing avodah zara. So I mean, that's what.
Yeah. You know, they're not. Yeah, the open miracle worked for the sake that it got something done. But then he didn't. Then he left and he didn't do anything.
Right.
So, let's see what happens. Now, so all this happened outside of any Hashem, Torah, Eliyahu, nothing. All this we're being told. Now what happens? Vahi devar al nayel Eliyahu hatishpile mor. So Hashem now goes to Eliyahu and he says, Kum red lekrat Achav melech Yisrael asher b'shomron. He says, go, get up, go down, and greet Achav, king of Israel, that's in Shomron. He's in the vineyard of Navot, where he went down to possess it. And go say to him the following. So says Hashem. Have you murdered and then taken possession? And you should say the following thing to him. So says Hashem. In the place where the dogs lapped up the blood of Navot, the dogs will also lap up your blood.
This guy must have been pretty important.
Who, Navot?
Yeah.
Well, we don't know. I mean,
God's coming, sending someone with a message that I'm going
to... Well, is he doing it to protect Navot, or is he doing it because he feels this is corruption? Right, by the way, this is the type of mission Eliyahu likes, right? Because what's he doing? Right? He's saying, you didn't do good, you're going to get killed. Oh, that I could do, right? That Eliyahu has got no problem at it. And blood and guts and the dogs, you know, that's this. This works for Eliyahu, right?
And
now Hashem is saying it to him.
Yeah.
Right, so even though we said Eliyahu was getting fired a chapter ago, in the end we said maybe he wasn't fired, and then we see here he's not fired. Right, he's actually still got stuff going on. So he goes down. So Achav says, "Have you found me, my enemy?" Vayomer matzati. He says, "I found you." I found. Yan hit makercha lasot hara b'nei Adonai. Because you sold yourself to do that which is evil in the eyes of Hashem. Now it's funny, who's he going after? He's going after Achav.
Right.
What did Achav do?
Yeah, but your wife, in
essence, he didn't do anything, right? He really didn't do anything.
He knew what was happening.
Did he know what was happening? Only a little bit.
He knows his wife.
She's at his desk using his writing utensils, and he's.
Meaning she didn't. He didn't know.
No, maybe.
If she's writing it in the name of the king,
it can't be that.
But he's the king. He saw this going on. I'm sure he saw.
He's supposed to know. No, because look at what happens, right? What happens? Look at Pasuk 16, which it's the last two words on the previous page, 768. Vahi kishmo Achav ki met Navot. When he heard that Navot was dead. What do you mean when he heard that Navot was dead? Right. You mean you didn't know what was going on the whole time? It sounds like he doesn't.
The same way Izebel heard he was dead. So it's Vahi kishmo Izebel also.
Izebel gets word from the people.
They're in the
city, right? And it's a public thing. So maybe they're
and
a little...
And the guy lives next door.
Right, he's your neighbor. And you want his land, right? But it seems like he didn't know. Yeah. Right? You could see why I would say that, right? But how does Hashem treat it?
Well,
it's as if he killed him. Haratzachta gam yarashta.
Because I mean, Hashem is, for lack of a better word, no dummy. He knows where the blood came from.
Right. So
Ahav had to have something to do.
You would
with
figure
it.
Hashem can't take it to Ahav if he's not guilty, right?
So maybe
one of the tenets of the Tanakh is that Hashem knows what he's doing, right? He's a good guy. He wouldn't kill for no reason. He's not a judge that doesn't know how to figure out what the story is. He knows the story. That's why he's telling Eliyahu what to do. But it's a little odd. Who should he really be going to?
Izebel.
He really should be going to Izebel. He really should be going not only to Izebel. Who else should he be going to?
The
elders. On the list of people that did wrong here, where do you put Achav?
Last.
Really last. Technically last,
right?
Unless he knew how to work his wife and his face was turned over and he had a grandmaster plan.
Right. It could be, but it's a tough sell. That's tough.
Why is the elder responsible?
I hear that helps make the sale, but Without that, it's a tough sale.
In the regular court, yeah, those people should be guilty first.
Yeah, but
it, also, I mean, you get a letter from the king, you do it.
He's setting these...
I understand, but you get a letter from the king to break the law, right, or to...
It's the king, he is the law.
Right, okay. But bottom line is, for sure, Isabel's the worst. Mm-hmm. Right, I don't think there's any question about that. Right, Isabel is the worst. She's not being played. She's the player. Right, I don't think there's any question about that. Mm-hmm. So then the question is, okay,
why go to
Ahav? And what about those nobles? Right, maybe what Joe said, you know, oh, they were just doing what the king said. You know, I don't know. They knew what they were doing was corrupt. Right, the letter said get false witnesses. The letter didn't say, oh, I have these guys that are witnesses that said. She didn't get the false witnesses.
Right.
They got the false witnesses.
They're following orders also.
I know, right. But there's a limit to where we say following orders is our excuse, and this certainly seems to be over that limit. Okay, so look at what he says.
Let me just one question.
Yeah.
Why is he coming, why is Hashem sending Eliyahu to speak to Ahab about the murder of this gentleman, this guy, Nabo, and not
some other murder.
Not when his wife...
Killed 100
Nevi'im.
Kill right. Why is this the thing that is getting it done?
Why is this even a topic? It's
right.
A piece of land. The guy owns it. I took it.
Great. Why is this a big deal? I mean, obviously for Navot, it's a big deal. And on some level, it does show us their disregard for tradition and their corruption of the law and so on. So it does have some good value in that regard. But at the same time, I agree with you. Meaning... What's so special about Nabot? What's so special about this field? Why? We have to imagine that Ahav did a lot of things wrong. That he didn't get a special message from Hashem. How come it didn't say, you killed 100 Nevi'im, you're gonna their blood is going to be avenged, right?
Sure.
Nothing was said there. Good question. So look at Pasuk 21. He says, I'm bringing bad upon you, ubiarti acharecha, and I'm going to burn after you. So this is an expression that appears in a number of different places in the Tanakh. It means that I will cut off from Ahav even someone that will urinate on a wall. That's literally what the words mean. Right? Do you see how they say it? It says every male, right? I don't know. You got to see where else they say it. But mashtin bakir means literally someone that urinates on the wall. Batsur Bazubi Israel, meaning any male is going to be killed, right? Your whole seed, your whole everyone is going to be wiped out. Venatati et betecha kevet Yerovam ben Nevat to bet Basha ben Achia. He says, I'm going to make your house, meaning your kingship, your family, like the house of Yerovam and Basha, both previous kings who built houses that were wiped out. Elakas Asherich Asta. Because of the anger that you caused and how you caused the people to sin.
Is he going rogue again and starting to deviate from what Hashem told him to tell him? Or
right, it's right. So you see already, he's not saying exactly what Hashem told him. Right.
He's fired up, he got a lot of anger.
Right, he says, Hamet la'achav ba'ir yochlu aklavim, Hamet basadeh yochlu of Hashemayim. He says, Achav's family that dies in the city, the dogs will eat it. And if they die in the field, the vultures will eat it. Meaning, it's going to be gruesome. It's going to be bloody. It's not going to be good for you. Rak lo haya ka'achav asher itmaker la'asot hara b'nei alonai asher esata et oto Izebel ishto. This is kind of like, you see even in the translation, they put it in parentheses. There was no one like Achav who sold himself to do that which was bad in the eyes of God. That which Izebel, his wife, led him astray to do. He did all of the disgusting avodah zarah that the Emori did. And the Emori, who were the Emori? They were the people that were in the land before Bnei Israel got there. That Hashem dispossessed them. Hashem kicked them out of the land because they did that. Achav, here it's saying, was the worst. So it's a pretty strong statement. Right, it's pretty powerful, and
story flows very weirdly, if you ask me.
Well, we're not done.
He does.
No, I'm just saying it goes from like this very cordial conversation right. to a pathetic yeah. king to a murder to a
killer. We have to piece everything. This is a two-parter, right? We can't do this all tonight because there's more to go, believe it or not. Let's get to the end and then let's get to the end. So look at what happens. Vayi kishmo Achav et hadvarim ha'ele. When Achav hears this, vayikra begadav. He tears his clothing. Vayasem sak al besaro vayatzom. And he actually puts on sackcloth and he fasts. Vayishkav basak vayhalech at. And he puts on sackcloth and he walks slowly. Vayhi devar adonai el Eliyahu hatishbi lemor. And Hashem turns to Eliyahu and he says, Haraita, do you see? Ki nechna Achav lefanai. Achav actually subjugated himself before me. Ya'an ki nechna mepanai. Since he subjugated himself before me, lo avi hara'av yamav, I won't bring the bad in his days, b'me b'no avi hara'av eto. It'll be in his son's time that it'll happen. End of the story.
What kind of
right?
consolation is that?
A lot happens in one person.
Well, right. That's like, whoa, you know.
All right, never mind. Okay, I won't kill your generation.
No. It changed the story dramatically. Right, what's the story about now? Who's the main character in the story?
Uh-huh.
You might think, right?
It's bringing Eliyahu back on the scene.
It's Eliyahu, right? I mean, yes, it's Achav, but it's really Eliyahu, right? And what's Eliyahu's way, right? We've seen this many times, right? What's Eliyahu's way? Kill him, right? And when we said to Hashem, send him, right? Like you said, Hashem said, okay, Eliyahu, go tell him. Haratzachta gam yarashta. Right? What does Eliyahu say? He goes more. He says, Hashem had strong words for him. Eliyahu goes more. What happens?
He doesn't fulfill what Eliyahu says.
No, worse for Eliyahu. What happens here?
He changes his words.
He feels bad. Mm-hmm. He tears his clothing. He walks slowly. He's doing the first steps of Teshuvah. Right? So Hashem, maybe this all happened to a degree.
Sabotage Eliyahu?
To show him that, you know, they can change. Right? What did Eliyahu think? No one could change. Right? Here he's taking Achav and he's showing him, look, I'm ready to kill this guy. Hashem tells him, I'll kill him. Right? But then he doesn't. But why doesn't he?
That's like when he created all the shatter and storm, that, but he said the use of your words, and he's not understanding it.
Right. And now he's showing him. Haraita, that's the key word. Do you see? Right. His key word to him is, you thought, Eliyahu, power, strength, destroy them. He says, but this, his whole message, the whole story is about power doesn't win. Right, it's not about the power. You think, first of all, you think he's the power. He's not even the power, right? And maybe that's why now. Why does Hashem send him to Achav? Why does he send him to Izebel? Because Izebel's not going to change, right? But Achav could change, right? And the story is not about solving a crime, stopping an evil, because we've seen worse crimes and worse evils. That's not the point. The point was the message to Eliyahu.
Soften your tone.
Don't think there's no hope. Don't think there's no hope.
The point is to try and get people to change.
Yeah, that's your role as a Navi. Your role as a Navi is not to punish. Your role of a Navi is, what's that?
You're not a thug and a gangster. Don't go running around threatening.
That's them. That's what they do, right? I mean, they're the thugs and the gangsters. They accomplish through force. So what does that do? Right? At the end of the day, if Hashem accomplishes through force, how different is he than Yizevel?
Right. Sure.
Right. And he doesn't want to accomplish that way. Right. He could make thunder and lightning, and then you got to do what you do. What'd you do? What'd you do? What'd you accomplish?
Perhaps fear, not respect, though.
So I mean, we do see that Hashem goes after, but he definitely mentions or knows that Yizevel was at the forefront of it, but punishes Achav.
Of course, he knows.
Right. So why does he punish Achav just as dramatically if we're going to go on the premise that he really was a Haziz?
He didn't punish Achav in the end.
Right.
Achav's supposed to die.
Punishing his son, which is worse.
Well, Achav's still not good.
Right.
And we're not done. There's more to go. Meaning that that's the end of this. We have to see what happens to Achav. We have to see what happens. And we will. We will see what happens.
So it does even show that Achav wasn't 100% wrong in the situation of killing Navot.
He was wrong. But,
of course he was wrong, but he wasn't.
But Hashem is willing, but even if he's wrong. Right? So it's an interesting thing about Hashem. Hashem is not necessarily committed to tit for tat. Right? Tit for tat, don't tell him anything. Just kill him. He wants to tell him. Why tell him? Right? Because when he tells him, he has a chance to respond differently. And when he responds differently, what happens? Hashem says, I'm going to let this guy live. His son's going to die, and it's going to be bad. But I'm going to let this guy live.
No, it's a rough response when you say it that way.
Also, you know what? Are deserving of
like, imagine telling your father, you know what? I'm going to let you live.
Right.
But it's going to be torture because you're just going to know every day that your son's going to go through hell.
Right. Now, maybe, the father could say, well, maybe if I could buy myself a little extra time with just a little bit of teshuvah, maybe if my kids are good, then maybe they'll be different.
Keep them,
right? Maybe it will keep it at bay. You know, we'll keep the punishment at arm's length. Right?
You know, he knows
maybe get rid of Izebel. Maybe, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's an interesting piece. Anyway, let's stop here for tonight. We'll pick up, I assume, after the holiday, because I think there's no Mondays for like 2 weeks or whatever. And
which place did I miss? I definitely missed one. The last week there was no class.
The Elisha one?
Yeah.
When they introduced where we got Elisha.